The good news of God's love according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the people who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Do I need to do this? I don't know where. How's that? Now I have to try and stay within its field of vision. Sorry. This is the important stuff of church in the 21st century. Tomorrow is the 505th anniversary of an event that transformed the Christian church. On that day in 1517, a notice was hung on the door of a church in the college town of Wittenberg, Germany. It read in part, "Out of love for the truth, the Reverend Father Martin Luther, Master of Arts in Sacred Theology and lecturer therein at Wittenberg, intends to defend the following statements and to dispute on them in that place." He followed this with 95 statements about the Christian faith that he believed to be true, the first being that Jesus intended the entire life of a Christian to be a life of repentance. Repentance. Turning away from the world's values and reorienting ourselves to God's values, repentance is an ongoing process, both because we stray from our original intentions and because we find more and more of ourselves in need of reorientation and repentance. Martin Luther inadvertently started his reformation of the church out of love for the truth. Similarly, if we want to know the truth so that it can set us free, Jesus says that just believing in him isn't enough, because belief can so easily be led astray. To keep ourselves oriented toward the ways of God, Jesus says we need to continue, to remain, to abide in his word, in his personal revelation of the self-sacrificing love of God. Like the people to whom Jesus spoke these words, we may have an incomplete understanding of the word freedom, connecting it to our nationality, our race, or our history. We might connect our freedom to politics or to economics, seeing freedom as the ability to do as we wish, when we wish, and solely because we wish. Not realizing that our wishes and our desires are often enslaved to compulsions that we cannot control. When the letter to the Romans talks about the law, it isn't just talking about the law given to the Jewish people in the Old Testament. It also refers to the natural laws that govern the world, the laws that make any person of any nation, culture, or religion aware that we live in relationship with one another and with the planet itself. It is through the laws of nature, as much as through the Ten Commandments, that we become aware of how much we sin against God, against one another, and against creation itself. And we're seeing evidence of that more and more. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The law helps us to know how much we are in need of God's help. And it is separate from all of these laws that the power of God and the love of God are revealed in God's desire to save us from our slavery to sin. While the Apostle Paul saw the Old Testament law as a precious gift to the Jewish people, he knew it was only intended for them and not for any other cultural group. All people, regardless of their race, religion, or nationality, come into a right relationship with God, not because of their obedience to any laws, but solely because of God's love. God's righteousness is disclosed as God's righteousness is just given to us and placed within our hearts and minds as a gift. God's righteousness isn't some standard that we have to try and live up to. It has already been placed within us. The death and resurrection of Jesus can heal all of the broken relationships in the world. That is what is meant by it being a sacrifice of atonement. It isn't about paying anyone's penalty. It's about healing people from the inside out, making them one with God and one with each other. Only God can transform the very core of our being so that we can be free of compulsion, free of fear, and free of shame. Set free from these chains, we are then free to live as we were created to live, for the sake of one another, and not only for the sake of ourselves and our needs. We are free to live as if God's truth was written on our heart. We then know the truth that is divine love. We live and move and have our being in that love. Today's reading from Romans emphasizes the word now again and again. God is always acting in the now and not just in the past. God is always reforming the church so that it can address the problems that we face now. The letter to the Romans was written to heal broken relationships. It can also be used to heal relationships between men and women and people who don't think gender is just a box to be checked on a form. The death and resurrection of Jesus can heal relationships between races, even in a nation as tormented as ours. God's self-sacrificing love is the only power strong enough to do this. That is the message of Luther's famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," which is based upon Psalm 46, although that might be hard to recognize, Because while the psalm celebrates God's power over the chaotic forces of nature, waters that rage and foam, and God's power over all political forces, nations, and kingdoms, Luther's hymn shifts that focus to God's protection of us in a battle against the forces of evil in the world. He once wrote that we sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends God's church and God's word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin. In every age and in every generation, people of faith are attacked by forces that want to crush and divide human beings. In 2022, we are fighting against two pandemics, one of a virus and one of hatred, violence, and fear-mongering. Acts of violence and hatred against blacks, against Jews, against refugees, against transgender people, they're all on the rise. The sad fact of human sinfulness is that when we are given permission and even encouraged to hate some of our brothers and sisters in the human family, we are quick to do it. Where do we find the faith to say, we will not fear though the earth be moved? Where do we find the courage to stand against the forces that want to move us in the direction of evil and sin? Psalm 46 is completely non-violent. God is the one who eliminates our desire for violence and destroys our weapons of war. The command to be still is directed at the warring factions of the world. Luther's hymn is also nonviolent. I really wish the old words, a bulwark never failing, hadn't been changed to a sword and shield victorious. Do we have time to switch those back? Oh well. The original German, Janet, describes a castle that is secure and sturdy, offering defense and protection rather than inflicting any harm on anyone other than our old satanic foe. The church needs to be a place of refuge from the hatred and violence of our society. A place where we continue to honor one another as children of God, even when we disagree or struggle to reach a consensus. So when you sing A Mighty Fortress today, and you will, sing it in defiance of the coronavirus. Sing it in defiance of racism and sexism and every other fear of some other. Sing it in defiance of the messages of hatred, anger, and fear that come screaming out of the television. Claim the promise that we have received our freedom, and that no matter what happens to us in the course of our lives, the kingdom of God is ours forever.